Well, today I'm proclaiming the Word of God from the Epistle reading, Ephesians chapter 3, verses 1 to 12. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, through your Word, fill us with your Holy Spirit, so that we may be unified as your holy people. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. A couple of weeks back, I was in Indonesia, teaching Lutheran spirituality and theology to young adults and to a large group of pastors in Jakarta. Now, Indonesia is a very religious place, and Jakarta is a very religious city, especially by Australian standards. When I was there in the hotel, even though we had double glazing, I could clearly hear the call to prayer from the local mosque at 4 a.m. in the morning. And when one mosque stopped, I'll get there, the next one started up. It's a religious place, right? You don't, however, normally think of Indonesia being a Christian country, but there are loads of Christians in Indonesia. In fact, there are many, many more Lutheran Christians in Indonesia than there are in Australia. And in fact, a number of synods were represented in Jakarta, where I was teaching. So in Indonesia, I experienced real Christian fellowship with real Christian people from quite a different culture, a different language. I had to speak through an interpreter. And one of the funny things too was I was much taller than they were, right? Of course I'm tall by Australian standards, but nothing like in Indonesia. They all wanted to be photographed with me. I felt like a bit of a circus attraction sometimes, in a good way though, in a good way. Here we are, I'm a Gentile by birth. They're Gentiles too. None of us Jewish ethnically, and yet calling on the God of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob together. Calling on the God of the Jews. Well, how did that happen? How did I have a unity with people in Indonesia, a unity that's stronger than language, or skin colour, or culture, or nationality? How did that come about? Well, today I'm proclaiming good news from the Word of God. And that is, in Christ Jesus, God breaks down the barriers that naturally exist in human communities, including the barrier of ethnicity. God freely gives us a unity in Christ Jesus, a unity that comes as we together receive his mercy and call out to God as one holy people. God, moreover, reveals in this his rich and multivaried wisdom, a wisdom that lifts us up together to life with God. Well, let's listen to how today's reading begins. Paul says, for this reason. Well, for what reason? Whenever a reading starts this way, we have to pause. So Paul has already been saying something. We're coming into the flow of an argument. So what has St. Paul been saying? Well, if you go back a few verses, you hear these words. So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are citizens with the saints, and also members of the household of God, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the cornerstone. In him, the whole structure is joined together and grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are built together spiritually as a dwelling place for God. Now, St. Paul here is talking especially to Gentile Christians, to people who previously did not call out on the God of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, but who through faith in Christ are no longer strangers to the ways of God or to the community of his people. Rather, they now truly belong. They are members of the household of God. So St. Paul says, this is the reason that I, Paul, am a prisoner for Christ Jesus for the sake of you Gentiles. Now, St. Paul's preaching the gospel to the Gentiles got him into deep trouble. Not only into deep trouble with his own people, but also into deep trouble with the Roman authorities. So St. Paul is writing this letter, the letter to the Ephesians, from captivity. But this for St. Paul was not a sign that God had abandoned him, or a sign that his proclamation of the gospel wasn't working. On the contrary, St. Paul does not see his imprisonment as a hindrance to his own life of faith or to his effectiveness as an apostle. God is God, and is not held back by human barriers. In fact, it's at this point in his letter, as St. Paul acknowledges the reality of his captivity, that he changes track to talk about what he is suffering. I should say, not to talk about what he is suffering, but to tell the Ephesian Christians what his continuing role is and what it means for them. So listen to what St. Paul goes on to write. "For surely you have already heard of the commission of God's grace that was given to me for you, and how the mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I wrote above in a few words, a reading of which will enable you to perceive my understanding of the mystery of Christ." So St. Paul is getting into his new theme here. Although he's a prisoner, and although he's outwardly powerless, and even from a worldly point of view, a nobody, he is, in God's kingdom, somebody who's been commissioned by God to reveal a mystery to God's people, a mystery that we receive and hand on here today in Australia. I could also say in Indonesia or wherever the gospel is proclaimed. This is what St. Paul says. "In former generations, this mystery was not made known to humankind, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit." That is, the Gentiles have become fellow heirs, members of the same body, and sharers in the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. So St. Paul starts by declaring this mystery, this thing that's hidden but still remains strange and unexpected even as it's revealed. He starts by declaring the mystery that the Gentiles, those people who are not Jewish by birth, have become sharers in the promises that God made to the patriarchs. And more than this, that they're members of the same body of the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who reigns with the Father. So listen to how St. Paul then goes on. "Of this gospel, I have become a servant according to the gift of God's grace that was given to me by the working of his power. Although I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to me to bring to the Gentiles the news of the boundless riches of Christ, and to make everyone see what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God, who created all things." Now, St. Paul frankly acknowledges that he is unworthy of his commission. I myself expect that St. Paul was tempted to pride as he considered the position God had given him. But we know from other letters that God taught St. Paul, not just through calling him while he was a persecutor of the church, and not also through suffering and persecution himself, but also through allowing him to suffer real weakness and need in daily life. We know that God taught St. Paul the gift of humility, of knowing that God's grace is sufficient. So St. Paul here is not big-noting himself, but in humility handing on what God has given him to proclaim. And it's at this point that St. Paul reveals two further aspects of the mystery. Listen to what he says, because we wouldn't guess this. "So that through the church, the wisdom of God in its rich variety might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places." So did you hear what St. Paul said? That God makes the rich variety of his wisdom known through the church. Now, it's good for us to pause here and consider what the church would have been in St. Paul's day. Not this great global long history reality that we're experiencing now, even though we have troubles in the West. For St. Paul, the church was relatively a small group of people gathered in small communities in the ancient world. Outwardly, nothing to look at, you could say. Not connected to political power and not particularly influential in itself. And yet St. Paul, speaking as an authority, speaking as someone commissioned by God, could proclaim that the church itself was a place where God was showing his wisdom, especially showing his wisdom in the way he was bringing together people from different ethnicities. We know in our world there's always the force in the human community to break up into different groups and subgroups. Typically in history, this has been done along ethnic lines, different tribes and languages, or socio-economic lines where people sit in the hierarchy of wealth and power and influence, or even in gender, male or female, how we understand ourselves. It's very easy for us to see these markers as what counts. But God shows his wisdom in, while acknowledging these realities, giving human beings a fundamental unity that comes not by what they establish, but by what he gives, and in particular, his mercy in Christ Jesus. So the church for St. Paul is a place where God's wisdom is seen in creating this sort of unity. Did you notice, by the way, the cosmic dimension of the church? It's not just that God shows his wisdom to people in the world, but rather that he shows his wisdom, and I'll quote here, to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. So St. Paul is saying that what happens when God draws his people together, even here at Bethlehem, Sunday by Sunday, is a witness of his wisdom to spiritual powers that we cannot even imagine. So Paul wants us to understand that this is what's happening in the church. Now, we do enact something of this understanding in our liturgy, don't we? When we pray that we are worshipping together with angels and archangels and the whole company of heaven, we understand that when we meet together, we are not meeting together only as a congregation, only as Bethlehem, or even only as the church militant as it gathers around the world today, or even only as that human community gathered together in Christ. We understand that we are witness of God's wisdom to heavenly powers. This takes us to the second aspect of the mystery and the last point for today's sermon. Listen to what St. Paul writes. This was in accordance with the eternal purpose that he has carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have access to God in boldness and confidence through faith in him. In whom we have access to God. Christ Jesus, St. Paul says, gives us an access to God our Father so that we can stand together confidently as children of God. And for St. Paul, this meant whatever our mother tongue, whatever our skin colour, our ethnicity, however much money we have in our pocket, whether a male or female, whatever our case may be, we have access to God, not on the basis of how we present ourselves, but on the basis of who God is and the mercy that he's shown us in Christ Jesus. A great unity that flows from our need, and a great unity that comes from the gifts of God. This is a unity that we have together with people right now all over the world, with those saints who have gone before us, and with the whole company of heaven. St. Paul was writing from prison, and it seemed like a place where nothing good could come from. And he was writing from a position of weakness. But God is God, and the realities that God established are stronger than any human realities. St. Paul wants us, through his word, to lift our eyes onto the mysteries of God, to see what God is doing in the church, even here at Bethlehem, and to open us to understand that we are working together with Christians from all over the world, and that we do this in humility as we receive the gifts of God together. Well, may God keep us in his faith by his word, so that we trust in our status in Christ Jesus, so that our eyes are open to the mysteries of God, so that we grow in love, so that the Father is glorified among us. And may this happen in Jesus' name. Amen. Peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds safe in Christ Jesus. Amen.